Now I have Tanya Zabriskie. She'll tell you all about the report that they have made in DCU. Yes. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Tell us about the report. That's the title of it. It's very interesting.
Well, this report is authored by Professor Maria Slowey, Director of Higher Education Research Center in Dublin City University, and myself, Tanya Zabriskie, researcher in the center. It is titled Living Longer, Learning Longer, Working Longer, Implications for New Workforce Dynamics. Mm. And what it looks at is the implications of the aging population and how longer working lives could form an important part of the solution.
Mm. It's all about solutions, not about problems.
Absolutely. Well, why we think it's an important issue is, as we all know, there's been an unprecedented growth of older population globally,
yes,
and
yes,
in Ireland as well, particularly among people over 65 years old. Their number has increased from the 2016 level of about 630,000 to one. It's projected to increase to about 1.4 million by 2046.
Mm-hmm.
So, which makes it the fastest growing population segment.
I'm included in it, I'm sure.
So this growth is happening mostly because the increase in life expectancy. So it must be addressed from a variety of different angles. So what we are doing is we're looking at how it can be addressed from the perspective of working lives.
Yes. So how do we address it? For instance, what do we do now?
Well, one way we try to look at it from different perspectives, from perspectives of the individuals, perspective of employers, perspective of public policy. Some of the findings point to the fact that employers could make the workplaces more age-friendly to accommodate the needs of older workers. It is projected that the share of older workers in the workforce will increase over time. And some of the research points to practices such as, for example, the role of the management is very important.
Very important,
in setting,
yes,
this overall age-friendly tone in the organization.
Mm.
Research quoted in our report also points to importance of including age as one of the dimensions of diversity and inclusion policy in companies, where it will be just another dimension in addition to gender, ethnicity, and other dimensions that are currently commonly included in the company's diversity strategy.
Yeah. These are all kind of hidden things, isn't it, in any social location, like employment, anything that you do. Age is something people want to hide. They want to be young all the time. And I suppose, you know, it's kind of contradiction what society wants and what it needs.
Yeah, so that's one of the points that is made in our report, is to try to just change the focus from viewing it as a problem to viewing it as an opportunity, because there is indeed a lot of opportunities in including older workers in a workforce if they want to or need to work longer. But that would involve changing also the shift. It would involve a shift to more age-friendly practices. And addressing a lot of misconceptions that are currently anecdotally, and there is some studies that are confirming that may be existing in various workplaces, a lot of misconceptions about older workers that actually were found to be myths and not true.
Yes. Actually, yours is a literature review. This research is a literature review. So you are actually going back, you're looking at all what's been reviewed before regarding aging, is that it?
Yes, what we try to do is just, it's a scoping exercise really, trying to see what research has been done on the topic of older workers in the workplace and addressing the needs of older workers. All age cohorts in the workplace have different needs, and
yes,
they all need to be addressed. So we try to see research done internationally and in Ireland about what is being done and what could be done, and also to see what's relevant for the Irish context from the international research.
Yes. Well, is there a difference between what is done internationally and what is done in Ireland?
Oh, we don't know a lot about what is currently done in Ireland.
Mm.
There has been a limited amount of research on what employers are doing in addressing the needs of older workers. So more research would be needed on this topic. Because the mandatory retirement age was removed, for example, in the United States, and then that was followed by the United Kingdom in 2011, a lot of research has emerged in those countries to see how the needs of older workforce can be addressed. So that was very helpful to our research.
Is it because that they need the older to remain in work because they don't have enough workforce?
A lot of employers are reporting talent shortages internationally as well as in Ireland, and older workers do represent a talent pool, and employers can draw from that talent pool and make their workplaces more diverse and inclusive. So there is definitely a tendency to look into hiring older workers or meeting their needs in the workplace.
There's a lot in the media, and I'm thinking I'm one of those in the pool, I think. I'm just thinking that there's a lot about Alzheimer's, all kinds of old age, you know, hazards or mental health problems. So they are giving a lot of information, and the media gives it a big, how do you say it? You know, they celebrate this sort of, and there's one that's one part of it, and then there's, as you were saying, that older workers, they are intelligent enough and they're wise enough, actually, the wisdom that people carry with them throughout the ages. And it's kind of neglected. Yeah. So there's a contrast between what is, being, in the news.
Absolutely. Yes. Older workers do represent a very important talent pool for employers. Employers invest a lot in educating and upskilling their workforce, so it's a shame to lose all those skills just because that retirement age comes, or state pension age comes, especially because surveys in Ireland show that older people would like to remain longer in the workforce and work beyond retirement age. There was one major study called TILDA, the Irish Longitudinal Study of Aging, that shows that people do wish to have an option to stay longer in the workforce if they choose so.
Actually, I must say that our radio station, they train people who are over 55s, especially, and they call for over 55s to come and train as radio presenters, and so working in the radio.
Excellent. A lot of the problems that you've identified earlier, they do come from those age-related misconceptions or myths about the needs and motivations of older workers. And these can be barriers to longer working, so they need to be revised, representing an implication for managers and public policy as well.
And also good publicity about the wisdom of aging people, the population, rather than not having Alzheimer's, what's the other one? Problems with brain functioning. Yeah.
Right. One of the misconceptions that has come up in our research is aging and its effect on cognitive abilities.
Yes.
Some employers would be worried about that. However, generally, there was a major study by National Health Service, for example, in the UK. And they did a review of existing research in 2013 and concluded that while there is some evidence of age-related cognitive declines, this is often compensated by experience and skills. So in terms of performance, older workers were found to, if their skills are up to date and if they're in good health, they were found to perform just as well as the younger workers.
So how do you enhance this? How do you enhance someone, say, who's aging? How do you enhance it? Is there any clues to it? How, you know, in your research, reviews, how do older people function when they're older?
I think it would be helpful to have sort of a multidimensional approach to it. Mm. And certainly, there's not just one solution, so it can be addressed by the employers to continue upskilling and reskilling the workforce and giving the necessary tools so that people can continue. Obviously, in some professions, some occupations, it may not be possible to continue, for example, in heavy manual labor, to continue working beyond certain age. So it's going to be all about transitions and perhaps offering more flexible working arrangements or different type of work within the same organization. So instead of the word retirement, again, transitions seems to be more appropriate because people would be transitioning to just different phases.
So actually, transition means you're going from one to another form of work, is it?
Yeah, a lot has been said now about the change from this traditional approach to life that was three-stage approach with education, your working life, and then retirement. This is becoming more of a transition from one phase to another several times through the life course. So, of course, it will have to be supported by lifelong learning for people of all ages.
Yes, that's the clue, isn't it? Lifelong learning. You can actually reskill yourself by things that sometimes, you know, when you were younger, I mean, you probably started, you know, for commercial reasons or, say, for employment reasons, that you will go have one path. But you might have had some skills before you took this path and become, you know, your whatever your professional qualifications are. You still have secret hopes that you could do things that you liked as when you were younger.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. This is happening. Definitely a lot of opportunities there in terms of transitions. But a lot of people who indicated their preference to work longer beyond retirement age, they also indicated that they would prefer more flexible terms and more gradual retirement rather than the fall of the cliff type of situation.
I was talking about myself in some sense, because when I was younger, I was working in a radio as a radio artist. And it's a long time ago. And now I'm back again. I love it because it takes me back, makes me younger.
Absolutely. So public policy can play an important role here as well to upskill and reskill perhaps people that are not employed and that are aging, as well as higher education institutions like Dublin City University is an age-friendly university.
So, it is, yes.
It would have to be supported by from all different angles, particularly for the individuals that are not employed, because they wouldn't have access to employer-sponsored programs. So that would be addressed by public policy.
Right. That's interesting now. So actually, it all these reports, all this knowledge that you have about this subject, you need to practice it, isn't it? So how do you propose to practice this, what you have learned?
Well, we hope for wide dissemination for our report. We did have a lot of interest from various organizations and various media. So we do hope that it will reach the stakeholders that are involved in this, and it really concerns the entire society, this issue. And we hope that steps will be taken. We're beginning the conversation, basically, about longer working and what can be done. And we hope that this conversation continues, but it would be very beneficial to have a Irish-specific study on what is being done in the workplaces in Ireland and how that compares with the international experience and what can be applicable to the Irish context.
It's really important to kind of plan ahead for government purposes, isn't it? The policymakers should learn about this.
Absolutely, yes. Especially with the recent changes to the retirement age in Ireland, which is consistent with the rest of Europe. The retirement age is being extended in the public service. Workers just received an opportunity to work until 70 if they wish so. And this has to be addressed again from a variety of angles.
Yes. So does the ESRI do any research on this? You know, the ESRI, it's a government, I think they do a lot of research on various things.
I think that's been part of the research of a focus of research of various organizations. One important document that came out recently was the report of the interdepartmental group, which was issued by the Department of Public Work. That report addresses the issue of longer working and again starts the conversation on a policy level, and that was followed up already by several important documents. So there are steps being taken, but there's more to be done.
It needs to be actually practiced, not only preaching, isn't it? It's a big difference between, like, you know, you may say, I mean, the knowledge is there, but how do you use it?
Yeah, I think it will be important to have sort of initiatives aimed at employers so that it doesn't entirely fall on organizations to sort this out.
Mm.
There will have to be some campaigns perhaps addressing those common misconceptions about older workers, explaining the benefits of drawing from the talent pool of all ages and drawing on the immense expertise and skills that is represented by older workers.
But there's accusation that if older people started, you know, getting longer work life, that the younger people will lose out because there'll be, you know, less jobs for the younger people. What do you say about that?
Well, obviously, an appropriate balance will need to be found when companies can still retain the talent and benefit from the skills that existing skills that they've already invested into development of those workers, but at the same time keeping a balance and giving an opportunity to younger workers as well.
Have you found out anything that you can do immediately, like now? To change, especially about the misconceptions.
Right. Well,
how do we change people's misconceptions about age and aging and youth, do you know?
One thing that came up in the research is that it would be important for organizations to include age as a dimension of diversity, because as a famous proverb goes, what gets measured gets managed. So once you include age as a dimension, you can see how the company is doing in terms of balancing the age and what can be done further. And then also, as I mentioned, sending that age-friendly message throughout the organization. And that can be expressed in the recruitment policy, in the retention, in the promotion policy. So these are just messages that can be sent from the management to entire organization, showing that all the employees are valued and supported.
As you said earlier, like, you know, it is similar to gender and women and gender workforce. They're very similar. They're all minority sort of, you know, subjects, you know. So if you, for instance, if you, now they are beginning to address, I hope, the gender imbalance. So perhaps this might come, should be connected with it.
Absolutely. And gender implications did come up in our research as well. While extending working lives will have implications for everyone, some groups may be experiencing greater disadvantages. For example, women who had caring responsibilities and for that reason missed some part of their working lives and in a way disadvantaged by those years that they were out of the workforce. So there are some implications for reintegrating back into the workforce or pension implications. And overall, all carers, all people who provide care are found at a disadvantage, at a higher risk for health complications themselves. So there is a need to support those providing care and responsibilities as well.
Because it sounds like, you know, it's all focused on youth and health. Youth, I mean, the society wants to be youthful. Nobody wants to age, you know. But aging wisely is an important thing. And in the old times, that people would say, oh, okay, you were respected when you were older. People would get up and give you a seat, right? But now I don't think anybody wants a seat. So that reminds you that you're older, and I don't think you get a seat either, do you? So, I mean, it's perhaps there's a lot of for people to change the way we think about things, yeah?
Yeah, perhaps it's a change in their mindset. And as people will be living longer, like I said, there will be several transitions. They will be doing different things throughout the life course.
You were saying about educating yourself, re-educating, retraining, even if you grow older. I mean, I think there are inbuilt kind of things that you could do. Now the retirement, there are courses for retirement, and they do talk about it. But I think that's kind of a group of people, all retired, older people together. And as you say, it should be probably investigated more in the workplace among all age groups, you know, the idea of aging, rather than just a group of people who have aged, who are supposed to be.
Absolutely, it needs to start early. And it just needs to be part of the company's policy and practice. One of the biggest misconceptions that we found in our research is that older workers are unwilling or unable to
retrain.
Training should start early on, but several studies show that participation in training tends to decline with age, while it helps with retention of older workers.
Yes.
Including them in training opportunities would be very important.
I suppose it's a spice. You know, it's a little, but it has a full impact.
Absolutely. Mm. There are huge benefits of upskilling the workforce of all ages.
Yes. So, George, how are we with time?
Lakshmi, we've another 3 minutes.
Three minutes?
Well, 2.5 minutes. So it's a fascinating subject, actually. So for the next 2.5 minutes, please, it's all yours. Okay.
Could you tell us about countries that are more successful in implementing this sort of ideas?
Well, because the mandatory retirement age was removed in the United Kingdom in 2011, there was research done there, and companies have done some things to address the needs of the aging workforce, and they have noticed not a huge but a slight increase in more older people
coming into the workforce. What about the continent? I mean, are they supposed to have way ahead than most people? Is it true? Like in Holland or in Germany? Or
there would be some specific examples of companies that have done interesting things and good practice examples. One of them is BMW company in Germany. It's an interesting case where they have done some changes to the workplace environment. They have also introduced exercises for people in the workforce, and they found it benefited people of all ages in organization.
Yes, yes.
But they also noticed that productivity improved, and they were just trying to retain the expertise and the skills of their older members of the workforce.
So it was done for everybody, not only for the older workers.
Absolutely.
Everybody excited. Just like in China, I think they have it, and Japan. I think the Japanese, if I recollect, the Japanese used to have that, isn't it? In their workplaces. The exercise thing, because once you are a worker in one of these companies, it was your whole life, everything was seen to. But I don't know whether it's happening now.
It makes sense, because some of the practical steps to support longer working lives can include health and well-being initiatives aimed, for example, at prevention of musculoskeletal problems and the use of flexible employment terms. So things like that were shown to be beneficial.
So I suppose even the seating arrangements should be done in ergonomical ways.
That's something that was done, I think, in BMW's study, and it proved to be beneficial, even if it's just chairs to take breaks, better lighting,